when you're talking about LinkedIn, if you only need 10 people, why do you have to talk to 100,000? If it takes you 100,000 people to get that 10, you're in the wrong business. You don't have a good product or you don't have a good service. So figure out what your product and what your service is, and then invest the time into the people that you can actually solve that problem for, and you're going to be much more successful. Forget about the numbers game on LinkedIn. It doesn't matter. It just simply doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many views you get to your posts. It doesn't matter how many hundreds of thousands of followers you've achieved in the last 6 months. I get so weary of seeing posts from the next guru on LinkedIn who puts up their shield analytics showing that I got 1.1 million views on my content last year. So what? It's vanity, it's ego, and honestly, any single person on this platform can do it.
Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. It's Ben Baker, and thank you guys for joining me once again, being such a great audience. You know what? If you love the show, subscribe, share it, you know, join on any of your platforms, whatever you guys like to do. I love hearing your comments, and I love having you part of my audience. Today, I have Monty Clark on the show. Monty and I are buds through LinkedIn. We have enormous, long conversations and diatribes over LinkedIn, and I had to have him on the show. We're going to talk about differentiating yourself in a digital marketplace. So, Monty, as a CMO, as a chief marketing officer, as someone who sits there and helps companies communicate, let's get into this. Welcome to the show.
I really appreciate you having me on, Ben. It's a pleasure. And I look forward to coming on your show for a long time. So thanks for having me.
I always love our conversations. We always go back and forth, and I always learn something from you. So I'm hoping our audience will as well. So let's take a couple minutes and just delve into, you know, where did you come from? What got you here? What are you passionate about? And let's get into this conversation about digital differentiation, because I think it's an important one.
Love to. You know, my background, I started as a graphic designer, believe it or not. So, you know, my trade was design. I quickly, though, realized that what I enjoyed more than the design aspect was a strategy aspect of it, and really helping people communicate and get a message out. So I started as a freelance designer, then quickly evolved into doing marketing for various small companies, so on and so forth, just on a freelance basis. But as my career has gone on, I've been fortunate to be owner in a number of companies, as well as partner in some different things, and then worked as a CMO for a number of companies. So it's been a good journey. But in May of 2019, I decided I'm going to pick up my LinkedIn account that I had but haven't used forever, like many people. And I'm going to really invest in that. I want to see what LinkedIn is all about, how I can make the program work for myself, and then see if I can make it work for other people. So since then, I have been on the platform every day for hours, every single day, and probably spent too much time on the platform. But the platform is really all about relationships, and we talk about building brands in the B2B space. That's what it's all about, right? So it's been this journey of figuring out how can I create my trust, expertise, and authority on a platform that I can then extend into other platforms and other mediums.
You know what? There's a lot there. I mean, there's so much history. There's a lot of things to think about. But the one thing that brings me to mind is that, and I see it all day, every day, and I want your opinion on it. What's the one thing you see people are doing wrong on LinkedIn? Because there's a lot of things we could talk about people doing right. But I want to start off by, if you had to pick one thing that you see over and over again on LinkedIn that people just don't do right, what would it be?
They do not treat LinkedIn like it's a live networking event. It's the number one thing. When people get on the platform, it's almost like when you're driving your car, right? When you're driving in a car, you feel like it's your own little space. Nobody else around sees you. You can do whatever you want in your car. You can act however you want, be mad. So I have road rage and all this other kind of stuff, right? It's because it's almost like this enclosed little bubble.
But people are watching.
People are watching and people are interacting with you, right? So LinkedIn, even more so. The first thing that I preach on LinkedIn is treat it like it's a live networking event. If you do that, right, then you're going to approach the platform a lot differently. You're not going to just message every new contact that you have with the sales pitch right out of the gate. You're going to get out and you're going to look at people's profiles, and you're going to find ways that you can interact with them, right? And it becomes more about the person that you're talking to more than it is yourself. When I go to a live networking event, just like you, when you go to any of these events, A, you don't stand in the corner and just watch. You might at the beginning, right? Until you get used to the crowd. But ultimately, if you're going to be successful at a live networking event, you have to engage. And so you walk around, you figure out the types of people that you want to engage with. You might look at people's titles on their shirts, from their name tags, whatever, but you have to strike up a conversation. Now, if you walk up to that person and you strike up the conversation, the first thing you do is say, hey, I have this product or I have this service. You want to buy it? They will not have a conversation with you.
Right? It's called being pitch slapped.
Yes, exactly. And nobody likes it, right? When you're at networking events, it's really all about the other person. Tell me about what you do. Tell me about your background. Why'd you get into this? How'd you get into this? And we talk to people in that way. When we finish it, we're asking them, well, tell me about yourself. That happens very little on LinkedIn. And so because that happens very little on LinkedIn, it creates, there's almost the stigma around messaging people. So because everybody's so, it's almost like the having repetitive ads show up in your feed all the time. You start seeing it over and over, you get sick of seeing it. So when people start messaging you, you automatically have this assumption that the first thing I'm going to see is a pitch, right? And so I've even had situations with some people where they've come right out and said, I'll connect with you as long as you don't pitch me anything.
Oh, I've heard that many times.
Of which, you know.
It's like people already have their hackles up. They absolutely have their hackles up because they've been pitch slapped so many times and so hard by so many people.
Yeah.
That they're just going, the next person, all they're going to do is try to sell me. That's all they're going to try to do.
Yeah. Which, you know, the bottom line is, in my opinion, every single person that's on LinkedIn is selling something.
Absolutely.
Okay. You're either selling yourself. If you want to get a job, you're selling yourself to whoever it is that you want to get a job with. If you're selling a product, you're still selling yourself. If you have a job and you're not looking for a job, you're still selling yourself. Because everybody that you engage is a relationship. Every relationship is an opportunity. So everything you do on LinkedIn involves a sales process. Whether you're actively selling or passively selling, you're still selling. So we don't have to be so caught up in whether or not you're going to give me a pitch. What if my pitch was, I'd like to give you $1 million? Oh, well, you just told me I couldn't pitch you, but I wouldn't go about doing it that way anyway, right? I mean, going back to this relationship building process and using it as a live networking event, my interest is first getting to know you. Once I get to know you and I understand through a series of questions and so on and so forth that you have a problem that I could solve, then we might have the conversation. But I might not want to do any business with you. Right? So it's all relationships. And the secret to unlocking LinkedIn and making it successful is how quickly can you develop those relationships? And how easily can you lead them into opportunity without pitching?
It's interesting because I find the best relationships that I have online are the relationships that I've taken offline. And the more that we can actually talk to each other. The more that we can understand each other, we can listen to each other, we can value each other, the better off it's going to be. And I think that's something that you're absolutely right. People are missing that human, humane touch on social media. They think it's all about me. It's look at me, look how wonderful I am. Look at the selfie I just took. Look at the house that I live in. Look at how successful I am. Look at how amazing I am. Me, 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 me. And I think if we turn that around and we make it about the people that we're curious about and really get to engage with people, the better it would be. So my question to you is, what's the best way to teach somebody how to make that shift? Because people come into the platform and they treat all social media platforms the same. You know, they say, well, I was on TikTok, so you know, LinkedIn's going to feel the same way. Facebook and Twitter are all going to be the same way. So I act exactly the same in all these different platforms. So when you move to one or the other, what might work one place certainly isn't going to work in another. So how do you get people to understand the differences between the platforms and how to engage in a meaningful way based on the platform that you're on?
Yeah, to me, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter are not relationship platforms.
Correct.
They are media platforms. You go there to consume media. Facebook is a relationship platform, but a relationship platform with few, right? I mean, it's more of a personal platform. And because of their algorithm change and how they go about doing it, they almost have restricted your ability to build relationships. So it's Facebook has become more of a groups-centric platform, of which they do a phenomenal job. I will definitely commend them for that and wish that LinkedIn would follow suit. LinkedIn, however, is purely a relationship-based platform that comes along with content. So there's over 700 million users on LinkedIn right now. Of that, it's traditionally been said that less than 1% produce content for the platform. Now, if you take a look at that, if you take that 1%, how much is that? How much of that 1% are actually what we would consider professional content producers, right? It's maybe 1% of that 1%.
It's a small number. I have no idea, but it definitely is a small number.
It's a very small number. So you can come to LinkedIn for a specific type of content. All driven around your niche is the difference with LinkedIn. So you can search hashtags and you can search people's titles. You can search groups and you can start getting involved with the type of content that you want to be involved with. How you start to make that shift is not necessarily by posting yourself, but by getting involved with the people who are actually active on the platform, producing content within your niche and engaging them in their content, then you start to develop these repetitive relationships that as you show up day after day and you are engaging a select amount of people, you start to establish what some people call your tribe, right? That's people that will engage you on an ongoing basis. You're establishing relationships. As you begin to understand how to develop relationships through your engagement, that then follows suit within how you direct message people. Because your mindset is, how can I engage this person and give back to this person, right? Through the comments that I'm going to put on their content. Which, by the way, when you're putting comments on people's content, it becomes content, right? So be thoughtful in how you're engaging people, because other people that are coming to that post, reading that content, are also reading your comments. And there's a large opportunity there for you then to engage people who engage you within your content or who like that post and are also involved with it. But then following suit within the direct messaging, when you connect with people, it's not just saying thanks for the connection. When you go out to somebody's post, it's not just saying, hey, thanks for the post. It's, how can I serve you today? Tell me about yourself. Tell me an area in which you need some help with, and let's investigate whether or not I can bring value to you. You do that in commenting. You do that in engaging people's content. You do that in direct messaging. The two go hand in hand. The better you get at it, And the more quickly you're able to start developing relationships, it's never really about you, but it always ends up being about you the more you make it about the other person.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. Well, with that in mind, it's how people connect. It's interesting how people connect because I don't know about you. I get hundreds of people on a weekly basis that just hit the connect key. All they do is they hit the connect key. You have no idea who they are, what they do, who they're connected to, what posts they read of yours, what they found valuable, why they're connecting in any way, shape, or form. But they hit the connect key. And they assume as soon as you hit the connect key, that you're going to connect with them.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the case. I probably deny as many connection requests as I take, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that, first of all, is if you didn't take the time when you hit connect, and you can do this whether you're within the app or with you're on the desktop, to write a small message. I saw this post that you wrote. I found this really interesting. I'd like to connect with you because of this. Okay, now there's a basis to start a conversation.
Yeah.
Why do you think that people are so lazy? And I'm going to use the term lazy, that they just hit the connect key. Is it the fact that they don't know any better? Or is it just the fact that everybody else does it to them, so they think that it's okay to do it to you?
Well, let's go back. I mean, there's a number of answers to that, but let's go back to the live networking event. If you walked into a room full of people with a stack of business cards and you just walked around and you stuck your card in people's hands and just walked away, said nothing, you just flipped a card at them.
And I've seen people do it.
Yeah. How many people are going to contact you back from that? None. So I do think that a lot of the times it's that people don't understand the platform and don't really understand what you do. There is a fault in LinkedIn because sometimes you can hit the connect button thinking you're going to be able to add a message.
And you can't.
And it just shoots them the connect, right?
And that's the problem with a mobile app. You actually have to go down and you have to look to say that it says connect with comment or connect, make it whatever it is.
Correct. So you have to know a little bit about the functionality of the platform and make sure that you do that. I do think there's also a problem with automation. A lot of people are using automation very poorly. I'm not one that is absolutely dead set against automation, never use it. But the problem is it's kind of like writing content. Most people don't use it right. So if you don't use a technology correctly, it's actually going to be a negative, right? So you have to be really careful about how you use automation and who you accept as a resource for that automation. Because you can get yourself kicked off the platform really quickly too.
Very quickly.
So anybody that's listening, be really careful about getting sucked into that. But I would say for the most part, it is laziness. Don't take the time to actually look at somebody's profile and see how I can engage them through a conversation, even if it's just a simple sentence. And I do think that there are a ton of people out there who are just simply going for numbers. And it's a connection game for them. It's just how many people can I get connected with? You know, there's been a popular term out on LinkedIn called a lion. It's a LinkedIn open networker. And those are people that will just connect with anyone for any reason. I just want more connections, right? Well, you're only given 30,000 connections, which is a ton. Nobody needs 30,000 connections. But if you're on the platform for a specific reason, I recommend you do like what you do, which is be very focused on who you want to connect with and why. And the value, and have it be more about the value that you feel like you can offer them more than they can offer you. And then you will develop what I consider to be a very high quality network That's going to open you up to a lot of opportunity, whether or not you're trying to find a job or selling a service or a product. The more focused you are and the more diligent you are in building a high network or a high net worth network, not from a dollar standpoint, but ultimately it would be a dollar standpoint, but just being focused in your target market and who you're going to be, who you're going to add value to, the more quickly you're going to find success on the platform.
Let's talk about numbers, because you're right. There are so many people out there that are going, I've got 5,000 members. I've got 8,000 connections. I've got 15,000 connections. Well, I can't connect with you because I'm up to 30,000 connections, and I'm going to have to let somebody else go so I can have you as a connection. And it's that humble brag type thing. And I'm sitting there going, there's connections and then there's connections. Mm-hmm. There's connections because they are, you're valuable to them and they're valuable to you, and they're going to share your information. Their network is valuable to you. The people that are going to see their posts and their engagements with you are people that might be connections as well. And then there's people out there who could never buy what you have to sell, can never afford what you have to sell, will never connect with you on anything. They just want to be have you as a connection because they're looking to raise their numbers. What's your thoughts on all of this? Because I hear 100 different viewpoints. It says connect with everybody because you never know who they're connected to. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, personally, I don't think anybody is going to recommend me to anybody without a relationship with me first.
I agree.
That defeats that argument that you never know who somebody's connected to and everything else. So, you know, connect with everyone, form relationships with everyone. Well, you can't form relationships with everyone. That's impossible. It's like going into Walmart and you are a Mercedes-Benz salesperson, right? And you go into Walmart looking for customers to buy Mercedes-Benz. Well, there's hundreds of people in Walmart. Maybe one, two, and this is not saying anything towards the type of people that shop at Walmart or anything, other than it's a discount store, right? So you don't see a lot of people going into Walmart striking up conversations in hopes that they might know somebody who would want to drive a Mercedes-Benz.
Or buy a Mercedes-Benz. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So why treat LinkedIn any different, right? Why wouldn't I be more focused on spending my time going out, understanding my customer, which is honestly one of the first primary problems that most people have, is they don't understand who their target market is. So therefore, they just shotgun it. Or they don't understand their business enough to say, this is the specific problem or group of problems that I can solve for this specific person. And so I'm going to go find that person and see if I can solve that problem for them. They say, well, I can solve problems for everybody. I'm in marketing. I solve problems for everybody. Well, I don't, right? I solve problems for very specific people, and I solve them in very specific ways. So if I'm out there and I'm looking for that specific person, and I spend 5 hours a day going out, looking at profiles, investigating, trying to establish and develop relationships with those people. And at the end of the week, I have connected with five people that I know that I can do business with. I will put that up against your 500 that you have no idea whether you can do business with them or not.
Or maybe 5,000.
Maybe 5,000. Because I'll guarantee you, Ben, I have already had in that week five very solid connections and very solid discussions with those five people, where your 500 or 5,000 that you've connected with or had follow, you probably haven't had much of any connection or comment or engagement with that person at all.
And the beautiful thing about LinkedIn is, if you're willing to take the time and make the effort, there is an enormous amount of information on companies, on individuals, on groups, just sitting at your fingertips. You don't even have to get a paid Sales Navigator membership in order to be able to sit there and say, what are they interested in? What are they passionate about? Are they golfers? Are they tennis players? Are they yacht? You know, do they like to go yachting on Sunday? What different groups are they part of? You know, who are the type of people that they're connected to? All this information is sitting at your fingertips for free.
That's right.
And 99% of the people on LinkedIn or any other social media platform never take the time to sit there going, that person's interesting. And before I sit there and write them a note, I'll actually go there and say, let's find out a little bit more about them. Let's find out about the last three companies that they work with. How long have they, wait a second here. They're in a company for 8 months on average. Maybe there's something a little flaky about this person and they're going from job to job to job. And maybe they're not somebody that's going to be around long enough for me to be able to build a relationship with. You know, and there's lots of different hints that we can look at based on looking at people's profiles. So my question to you is, why are people not taking the time to build deep relationships instead of these, you know, feeling that they need to wave their Visa card around and say, who wants to buy? Why would people not look at it and sit there and say, you know what, if I've got 200 really strong relationships, I'm good. Why is there this ego bait that the numbers just got to be huge?
You know, it's because we live in a microwave society, in my opinion. Everybody wants it now. Not only does everybody want it now, but they want it to be easy. I don't want to invest that amount of work, right? I've got other things to do. I've got a full series of Netflix that I need to eye guzzle over the weekend. And I don't want to spend time going out and investigating people on LinkedIn. But I've worked with a lot of people, Ben. And I'm telling you, 90% of the clients that I work with, when I say, tell me how many people, if you were full today, right? If I could fill your cup today, how many people is that? Can you possibly work with yourself or your company? From down to the person, it's usually 10 or less.
I was about to say, it's probably somewhere between 8 and 10.
Yeah. Now, every single person that I work with probably has 10 people that they already know and already have had relationships with that they could either go and get some form of work or contract with today, or could talk to that person that could put them in touch with the person that could possibly do that. Our circles are small is the point. So when you're talking about LinkedIn, if you only need 10 people, why do you have to talk to 100,000? If it takes you 100,000 people to get that 10, you're in the wrong business. You don't have a good product or you don't have a good service. So figure out what your product and what your service is, and then invest the time into the people that you can actually solve that problem for, and you're going to be much more successful. Forget about the numbers game on LinkedIn. It doesn't matter. It just simply doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many views you get to your posts. It doesn't matter how many hundreds of thousands of followers you've achieved in the last 6 months. I get so weary of seeing posts from the next guru on LinkedIn who puts up their shield analytics showing that I got 1.1 million views on my content last year. So what? So what?
It's an ego number.
It's vanity. It's ego. And honestly, any single person on this platform can do it. So if everybody can do it, then what's the value of it?
So there's a ton of noise out there. We both agree to it. There's all sorts of noise out there. There's everybody saying, me too, look at me, look how wonderful I am. Here's my last question for you. How would you differentiate yourself if you were talking to your 18 or 21-year-old self, just getting onto LinkedIn, trying to set your own boundaries, create your own tribe? How would you go about starting this all over again to make sure that you were attracting the right people in the right way that saw the value in what you did and wanted to communicate with you?
I would first start with hashtags. I would select 2 to 3 hashtags in my industry.
Explain a hashtag just for in case anybody doesn't know what they are.
Sure. Hashtags, you find hashtags on pretty much all social platforms. It's the number sign in a word. It can be a phrase or whatever. And it is what LinkedIn uses to search content types. So hashtag marketing technically should come up with a bunch of marketing posts. Hashtag tip of the day, right, is going to come up with all kinds of how-tos and help type content for that day, so to speak. So the more you dig into hashtags, the more evolved they can become, basically, and the more niched they become. So there's almost a hashtag for literally anything. But any niche out there, there's hashtags within your industry. So just start looking for hashtags. Once you accept one, or once you follow one, I should say, LinkedIn will recommend other hashtags around that as well. So you can very quickly build up a number of hashtags that would be important to you or of value to you. Start there and look at the feed. Take a week and just no engagement, no nothing at all. Just scroll through the feed and find out who keeps showing up. Okay. Who's there on a daily basis? On a daily basis, you're going to find people who are posting fairly regularly, right? Maybe daily. Of those people, you want to start engaging those posts. So then take the next week, only engage people that you see show up on a daily basis from the previous week. Copy, go to their profile, click on the name, go to their profile, go to their activity section on their profile, and then on their post. Then you can see who is posting daily, all right? Take 10 people, choose 10 people that do that, that are posting daily. Save a bookmark of those people on your browser so that now all you have to do is pull up their link that goes directly to their posts so you can see their next post of the day. Engage those 10 people every day for a week to 2 weeks. Don't reach out to them, don't connect with them or anything. Just simply engage their posts. If you see other people on there that are posts that are commenting fairly regularly, engage those people as well on their posts, on those 10 people. At the end of a couple of weeks of doing that, if they haven't reached out and connected with you already, go connect with those 10 people. They will connect with you. Anybody that you have been engaging the comments of from those posts as well, go reach out to them as well. Try and connect with those people. They will likely connect with you if you've been commenting on their comments. Now you've just established your foundational tribe, if you would. And those are people that as you engage, once you now start producing content, will likely come engage you, right? So as they come and engage you, now you are using LinkedIn to build a following and to build your tribe, so to speak. You just add to it one by one by one. The more people you engage, the more people will come engage you. Continue to add them on your bookmarks to your browser. Engage, the more people you engage, the more people are going to come engage you. Now, the secret to all of that is your content. Ultimately, you absolutely have to have engageable content. It can't just be broadcasting information that people can't engage with. So that's a whole nother show, honestly.
We could certainly do a whole show on content. Absolutely.
Yeah. But if you want to build up quick, if you want to build up quickly and you want to start building a following quickly, that's the recipe.
And let's put it this way. That's building up a tribe of people that are valuable to you and you are valuable to them. Because first of all, you're both following hashtags that you're all interested in. So you're all talking about the same thing and you're all interested in the same thing to begin with. So that's the key. It's getting rid of the shotgun approach and hitting the sniper button.
That's right.
Monty, this has been absolutely wonderful. I'm going to make sure everybody can connect with you. We'll make sure everything's in the show notes. Is there a URL that people should get or a way to get in touch with you directly?
MontyClark.com. But right now on my profile, I only have the follow button. But if you want to connect with me, just hit the more button and connect and send me a message and we'll make it happen.
Perfect. One last question that I'm going to let you go, because this is something I ask everybody. As you leave a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
I want people to think, wow, that guy was an exceptional listener and was really in tune with what I was trying to convey to him.
You know what? Listening is a lost form of art that we all need to get better at.
Yep. The more I listen, the more I hear, the more I can help.
And with that, thank you for your time.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Ben.
My pleasure.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?